This summer, let's get grounded. Feel the ancient soil beneath our feet. Smell the rich soil after the rain. Sift the sand through our fingers. Connect ourselves to each other, to all of creation, and to the spirit of the living God who meets us in the dirt. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link, our weekly email newsletter. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground on the stage this morning. Good morning, playground, our community over there. We have, just giving me the look, we have a lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to everybody in the nursery. And we have godly play for age 3 through grade 6 after the word for all ages. So after the word for all ages, those age 3 through grade 6 are invited to go upstairs to the godly playroom. They're with you today, Miss Amy?
Yes.
And who else is with you today? Miss Amy and some... Wait. Okay, check, because we will adapt... We will adapt as needed. Summer worship begins today, as you can tell, because if you were here last week, we were miserably hot, and this week, it is nice and cool. We're using a generic bulletin this summer, so you can take it with you, but if you're not going to put it in your scrapbook, please leave it here, and we'll just use it again throughout the summer. And there is the prayer list on the table for those on site, and it's also in the link for those online. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your body, mind, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was. So they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that once was in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning. I'm Sharon.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got distracted. I'm so sorry.
That's
sorry.
Okay. Oh, we just have to turn it on. I was like, that didn't sound right. Hello. Try again. I'm Sharon. Thanks, Cindy. So please join me in the call to worship. And your response is, come as you are. Come, brothers and sisters and siblings. Come as you are. Bring your blessings and your burdens. Come as you are. God is here all around us. Come as you are. Come, let us worship together. And our opening hymn is number 54, For the Beauty of the Earth. I know we have hymnals you can use or just follow along with the words on the screen. And you're invited to rise in body and or spirit, or both.
Oh,
seated. And thank you, Elaine, for that beautiful piano accompaniment, beautiful music. So our centering prayer begins with just a little bit of silence, as much as silence as possible. We know it's never completely silent, and we don't want that. We want a little noise. We want a little life, kids, etc. But this is an invitation just to slow down and breathe deeply if you like, and just to try to sit quietly and be present right here, right now. Let us pray. God of the Rocky Mountain, the city park, the community garden. You take mere dust and turn it into beauty, community, life. May we dig deep roots into your love and know that we too are dirt, precious, holy dirt, fertile soil for the beloved community Jesus showed us when he taught us to pray, saying, Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And like generations before us, we gather in this sacred space and time. We're part of a line that will continue long after we are gone. May we feel those who have gone before us and those who will come after us as we turn to those who are with us and greet them with a sign of peace. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. So God's peace be with you.
And also with you.
This morning is the story of creation. And Sharon, I'm just realizing how perfect it is that you are the lay reader because you do so much with programming at FCC Natick and nature with turtles and bugs and owls. Owls? Sharon.
They're coming in November. I love them.
So our scripture reading this morning is from the story of creation. This is a familiar story, yes? God says, let there be light, and the lights come on, yes? Then let there be sky and water. God brings everything into existence with just a few words. God says, let there be stars and trees, and then pronounces them
good.
Good job. God says, let there be birds and wild things and so on until we get to the ultimate creation, which is humans.
Awesome.
Humans. The humans are so exhausting that God then has to take the day off. That's how we get the Sabbath. But that is not the creation story that we are talking about today. There are two completely different creation stories in Genesis, and as soon as one ends, the other one begins. And the second one is just about the opposite from the first. God starts out with the human beings. But this time, the act of creation is a little more work than just a few words.
So hear these words from the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 4b through 9. And the verse we're reading is from the Inclusive Bible. At the time when God made the heavens and the earth, there was still no wild bush on the earth, nor had any wild plant sprung up. For God had not yet sent rain to the earth, and there was no human being to till the soil.
I love how, first of all, the author of Genesis is completely ignoring the creation story that just finished. We are back to nothing, or almost nothing, although there is sky, the heavens, as well as the earth. Part of why there is a big nothing is because God is having personnel issues. God needs a landscaping crew, but hasn't created an HR department yet, so God has to improvise.
Instead, a flow of water would well up from the ground and irrigate the soil.
God has a sprinkler system. But we already read that God doesn't have any wild bush or wild plant, and no seeds have been planted yet. So if you just have earth and you turn on the sprinklers, what are you gonna get? Mud. Lane said weeds. Lane, there was no wild bush, there was no wild plant, there were no seeds. What are you gonna get?
Mud.
Now, for us, mud is a mess that we try not to track into the house, but God looks at that mud and says, I can work with that.
So God fashioned an earth creature from the dust of the earth.
From a more traditional translation, Sharon would have read, God formed man from the dust of the earth. But those translations give the wrong impression. The Hebrew word in question is Adam, which means human being, generic person, not male person. Scholars say the Genesis author really wanted to make a play on words, which got lost in that English translation, in the traditional English translation, because the word for earth, as in dirt, is Adamah, so close to that word for human being, Adam. Adam and Adamah. Because the word for earth man and humans are so close, some scholars suggest that a better translation would be, so God fashioned an earthling from the earth. But even that could kind of mislead the message of Genesis. We are made from dirt. So Sharon, what happened after God fashioned an earth creature from the dust of the earth?
God blew into its nostrils the breath of life, and the earth creature became a living being.
Right. We are made from dirt, but not just dirt. Dirt plus the breath of life. Breath that comes from God. Breath that connects us to God. The breath that still moves through these earthling bodies. And with that, God finally had staff and got busy creating the rest of the world.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Amen. No, don't leave. We love. I mean, it's so beautiful, though. We like that. Okay, children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. How long can you hold your breath? Let's see, do you think you can do it for 5 seconds? Okay, let's see. All right, that wasn't hard, right? Okay, how about 10 seconds? Okay, we could probably go a lot longer, but I don't want to make anybody dizzy. Because we need breath to live, amen? Ooh, all right, I'm just gonna hold the mic. Breathing gets oxygen into our cells and carbon dioxide out so everything in our bodies can work. That's why we breathe all the time without even thinking about it. It is so important. So prayground. In our scripture passage this morning, human beings breathe for the first time because God breathes into them. God shares God's breath with them. So it is God's breath going in and out of my lungs. God's breath helping me to talk right now. God's breath keeping me alive. That makes me think of two things. One, I want to use God's breath well. I want to use God's breath to say kind and loving words. I want to use God's breath to bring joy and beauty to the world. I want to use God's breath to share God's love wherever I can. I want to use God's breath well. Amen? Amen. And I want God's breath to comfort me. When I feel alone in the world, I feel God's breath in my own lungs, and I remember God is with me. When I hear hurtful things, I can listen to the sound of God's breath going in and out of my nose. Just like that. When things are hard, I can breathe in deeply, and God's breath calms me. So forget holding your breath. Whatever might come in the week ahead, keep breathing deeply. And remember, you are filled with the breath of God. Now you can take that breath with you upstairs to godly play. Amen. Our second reading this morning is by Elena Westbrook, called Invocation for Difficult Times. She writes, "When all around us voices are raised in anger, hatred spilling into the streets and sparking more hatred, sometimes the best we can do is sink our hands into the soil. Let the fights over abstractions ebb away, flow like water into the earth. Fill your fingers with dirt that is itself the product of rocks worn to powder over millennia, leavened with particles of other lives, lives of leaves and vegetables and other animals, once as warm and active as you are now. Everything dies and returns to its source, breaks down into the ingredients of some new life, bits of humus, squirming bacteria, a tiny egg. This is real. The sun warm on your back, the soil cool under your bare feet, a tiny new stem that will unfurl to grow a sweet red tomato, and the hand of a friend gently helping you to rise. Even on our most difficult days, we can touch the soil and be grateful for the earth and the love that sustain us. Amen." So it was just sky and earth and God. Then God made water bubble up from the earth, and lo, there was mud. What did God do? Start cleaning up the mess? No. God plunked down on the ground like a delighted child and started to play. God worked the soil, getting the consistency right, and then molded the earth this way and that. First, God made a sort of blob with three legs. God knew that that would give this creature great stability, but no limbs left over for hugging. So God refashioned one leg into five arms in a row, but worried that so many arms might always be grasping for more. Finally, God settled on two arms and two legs, and the rest of the project came together easily. A head with two ears for listening and two eyes for looking, but just one mouth, and hopefully the creature would get the message. Satisfied with the earth creature, God breathed it into life. So let's be clear, the creation stories in the Bible, like creation stories in every culture, are not science. They are not intended to be. And trying to make them into science ruins the power of the story. Creation stories help us make sense of ourselves and the world. They are meaning-making poetry that ground and guide us. But that leaves a lot of room for interpretation, and that's where things can get tricky. One person looks at the story of God creating human beings from mud and says, "I knew it! We are dirt. Messy, useless, problematic. We need to be washed up, made pure, scrubbed clean." But that's not the message I see in this creation story. Well, I agree with part of it. We are dirt. Just like everything else, the fish and seaweed and giraffes, God made from the same earth a few verses later in Genesis. But being made from dirt doesn't mean we're useless or grimy. We are rich earth, full of minerals and nutrients, full of life. The word human comes from the same Latin root as humus, that dark, potent soil that is so good for growing things. Showing us that we are made of earth isn't to minimize the wonder of our creation, but to amplify it. The creation story reminds us that we humans are fertile ground. So much can flourish and grow in us, which means we need to be really thoughtful when considering what seeds get planted in our very beings. Amen? Compassion and hope can flourish in the rich soil of humanity, but division and oppression can too. There is so much judgment, violence, and bias just in the air around us right now. It would be easy for them to take root in our earthen selves. They can grow so fast and dense, they crowd out hope and peace. It would be so easy for any of us to be a whole field of fear right now with no room for love to grow. And that's part of why I come here to church. In this community, the things that get planted in the soil of my life bring more beauty than bitterness. Just singing with other people, holding together the pain of our lives, taking a moment to describe the world the way we believe it should be, I can feel hope and commitment growing roots in my earthen heart. So yes, my friends, we are made of dirt, like everything else in creation. In the rich soil of our beings, may we plant love to bless the world. Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share prayers aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? I have some, but Laura.
After 6 weeks of two ministries in different We're so glad that Laura's husband, Charles, is home, came home on Thursday after how many weeks? 6 weeks of getting stronger and healthier. He must be so glad to be home. Thanks, Laura. Beth. So Declan's first post-treatment scan was fabulous. And how often is the?
3 months.
3 months. All right. So, Declan.
Good job.
Yes, Declan. I love that. So Declan is sharing that all of his doctors who were there at his MRI are such awesome people, and he loves getting to spend time with them, but I'm sorry you don't get to see them for 3 more months. And we love the way in which Declan and his medical staff have worked together to plant such beautiful seeds of hope and joy. Yeah. Yeah, good morning. Oh. And was yesterday the big birthday? Today's her birthday, but when was the big party?
Last weekend.
So Bridie turns 80 today, 80 wonderful years, and we celebrate that her cousin is visiting and that she's had a big birthday celebration. Lots to celebrate there, and you are a very good daughter. June, what joys do you have today? I have a couple. So we are celebrating Olivia S.'s baby shower. This is Faye D. and Chris S.'s daughter. Janet L. was able to go to the baby shower, so we are lifting up that joy. Also, Thursday was the first Natick Nights of the summer, which was a great event, and we were able to work with local merchants to have a pride component to that Natick Night, and it was so awesome to gather together to celebrate our LGBTQ neighbors and selves. You can see our art project out in the tree on the corner. People were writing what helps give them a sense of belonging, and one young child, I'm going to guess fourth grade, what they wrote on their flag and said to us was, seeing other queer people is what helps them feel like they belong. So may we continue to create a community of belonging in Natick. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Lane. We are holding in our prayers Lane's nephew, Luke, who is struggling with mental health right now, and that means we hold in our prayers all of those for whom mental wellness is a challenge right now. Sharon.
Well, just dealing with the heat and extreme heat, so that everybody take care.
Sharon is reminding us of the heat this past week that will come again, and we know for many people this is a medical issue, and it can be very serious. So we hold in our prayers everyone who is struggling with the heat. Thanks, Sharon. June, do you have concerns over there? I have several more. So we mentioned Faye, that her daughter Olivia is having a baby shower. Faye herself is having back surgery on July 11th. This is hoping for better mobility and a reduction in pain. So we hold Faye in our prayers. Jessie, Janet L's friend, is also having very complicated back and neck surgery tomorrow. This is surgery that's been delayed several times. So first of all, we're just really hoping the surgery happens tomorrow, that it goes smoothly, and that Jessie's recovery is good as well. And we've prayed for a little bit for Keith's dad, Philip, down in Florida. So Keith just went down to Florida to be with his dad and try to get his living situation and his overall well-being in better shape. Probably Philip is going to need to move to assisted living, which he does not want to do. So prayers for this family as they're dealing with all of these transitions. Did I miss any? Let us come together in prayer. O God, in whom we are planted, We come to you today aware that we live in a world that sees some things as blossoms and others as weeds. And you look at all of it and see beautiful growing things. So help us to particularly grow the things that bring life to the world. Compassion and connection. Deep listening and showing up when we're needed. Even when it's scary. Even when it's hard. We hold in our prayers today so many folks who are embarking on new life. Couples ready to welcome a baby. People planning weddings. Moves that are in the works. And at the same time, we hold in our prayers folks who have some anxiety about the days ahead, about medical treatments or news of medical diagnoses, conflict in families, mental well-being struggles. We bring all of these joys and these concerns into this time and place, God, knowing that you are already at work in our lives. But our connection is something that brings strength and hope as we show up for each other, ground ourselves in you, and feel ourselves tapped in to your infinite love. Amen. For the last 2 weeks, we've brought poetry to downtown Natick. Neighbor and artist Tom Gilligan created larger-than-life poetry books, wooden boards on which he carefully transcribed poems that have brought him inspiration and meaning. The hope is that people will simply pause and at the poems, read them, and take them in. He had displayed them in libraries, indoors, but he was looking for a place to show them outside, and so we happily agreed to display them outside on the property of FCC Natick. A QR code takes folks to our website where they can learn more and read the poems at their leisure. Since the poems went up, about three times as many people have viewed that page on our website as any other. Today is the last day for the poems, so I invite folks on site to check them out after worship. And just so you know, every day, Tom takes them down and puts them up. He's been a beautiful steward of these works of art. And consider joining Natick's Coffee with a Purpose on July 7th to hear Tom talk about his project. You can see Doug H. for more info. For me, this is another way we use our property to bring connection and meaning and love to the world. None of that would be possible without your generosity. So thank you. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, you might join in the loving kindness practice highlighted in one of the poems, sending the mantra out to the world, may you be well, may you be safe, may you be happy. Amen. Thank you. God of love, bless these gifts, and especially those that have given them, that they might know the ways in which they grow your love in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is I Sing the Mighty Power of God. You may be seated. Following the benediction and postlude for those on site, there is coffee and snacks right in this room. At some point, go get your children, but you don't have to go get them right away. And again, huge thanks to Elaine for our music this morning. Elaine is about to embark on her summer adventures. We will see her in September. Beloved, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the garden soil to you, deep peace of the sparkling sand to you, deep peace of the muddy path to you, deep peace to the God of dirt to you. Go in peace. Amen.